Hey, I've got a question for you from Intentional Living. By the way, I'm Randy Carlson. Here's the question. When we think of God's intentional love, you hear me talk about that a lot. Do you feel it, or is it more of a concept? I mean, do you really feel God's intentional love at a deep level, or does God seem somewhat distant in your life? Today, best-selling author Dr. Gary Chapman is going to join me again. We're going to continue our discussion we had a few weeks back on God speaking your love language. And we've got some great questions for you. We've got some callers we're getting to. Gary Chapman, we'll get to you in a moment as well. If you'd like to join us with a comment on our comment line, give us a call at 888-888-1717. Press number 2 for our storyline. Love to hear from you. All right, let me first take a caller before we get to Jerry, or to Gary, rather. Jeremiah's on the line in Georgia with a question, I think, today. Go right ahead.
Yes, my name's Jeremy Katz. I've had a really long life of going to church, and I've always been in church and living for God. I guess God called us to Warner Robins away from where we live in Florida up to Georgia. Me and my wife had signed up to go on a mission trip, and some things fell through to where I couldn't. And the people that she's going on the mission trip have wounded me very deeply, and she's still going on the mission trip, and I'm very angry. And I'm very angry at God, and I'm very angry at my wife. And I'm having a extremely difficult time getting over it, to the point of it may cost me my marriage. And sometimes I'm okay with that, and sometimes I'm not. So I'm just really at a crossroads, and she leaves this Sunday, and I'm just really just trying to get through things and decide what crossroad is best for me and what crossroad God wants for me.
All right. Well, hang on, Jeremy. Don't act yet. Dr. Gary Chapman's joining me. God Speaks Your Love Language is his book. Many books on love languages. Gary, welcome back to Intentional Living.
Well, thank you, Randy. Good to be back with you.
Yeah, I was hearing Jeremiah talk about, you know, he's been screamed at in terms of his marriage, and I was thinking as Jeremiah was sharing that it feels like God gets cut out when the situations around us are so loud that we can't even hear him, even if he is trying to speak our language. And it feels like what Jeremiah's been experiencing.
Yeah, and I think, when we are hurt, we experience anger. It's in our mind someone has done us wrong. And in this case, he feels like the group or certain people in that group and his wife are both treating him wrongly. And so the emotion of anger arises. It's not a sin to feel angry, but how we handle that anger makes all the difference in the world. That's why the scriptures say, when you are angry, don't sin. Mm. And this would be the warning that I would give, Jeremy. Don't sin. And also, we have to process our anger. It says, don't hold anger inside, because if you do, it becomes bitterness and it becomes hatred, and you will end up doing things that will make things worse for you and everybody else. So acknowledge your anger freely to God. Lord, you know how I've been hurt. You know what I'm feeling. And I'm assuming you've already talked with the other people. You've already talked with the wife, and they're not responding well to you. Yet then we put them in God's hands and say, Lord, they're yours. Because in Romans it says we're not to take revenge ourselves. That's God's department. Put them in God's hands. If they've done wrong, then God will take care of them. And you ask God to help you not to allow your anger to remain inside. Release it to God. Lord, I give my anger, I give my hurt to you. I want to walk with you. Whatever happens to my wife, whatever happens to that group, I want to walk with you. You see, when we're in the midst of pain, we need to run to God, not away from God.
Yeah.
It gets worse if you run away from God and try to handle it yourself. But you run to God, and he'll give you direction on how to walk through this.
Gary, give some examples. We talk about the five love languages, maybe just briefly going over what those are, and give some examples of how God might be trying to, you know, he's speaking that love language to a hurting person today, but they're not sensing it. How can they be aware that God's speaking to them in their pain in their love language?
Yeah, the words, the love languages are words of affirmation, acts of service, doing something for the other person, gifts, universal, to give and receive gifts as an act of love, quality time, giving the person your undivided attention, and then physical touch. And when it comes to our relationship with God, all five of those, God speaks all five of those, and you can speak all five to God. I mean, he receives your reciprocal love. But typically, we are drawn to Christ because of what he is speaking to us first. He initiates it. For example, Jeremiah in the Bible, he said, "Your words came." He's talking about God. "Your words came, and I ate them, and they were to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." See, for him, it was the word of God that spoke so deeply to him. Same thing was true with Martin Luther. You know, he was trying so hard to be accepted by God, living a disciplined life, and just trying to be good enough to be accepted by God until he read the words in the book of Romans, "The just shall live by faith." And he said, it was like paradise broke in my soul when I heard those words. It was the words that brought him to reality. Oh, it's not what I do. God's already done it for me and put my faith in Christ. And it changed his whole life. So after we come to God, then, Randy, we will continue to sense God's love most deeply in our love language. So if words is our love language, then we're going to feel closer to God when we are reading the Bible and we're phrase by phrase letting those words sink into our heart, and we're going to sense God's love more deeply through those words of affirmation. For another person, if acts of service is their love language, they're going to feel closer to God when they see God doing things for them in their lives. Maybe they prayed for a child who was sick, and God healed that child, and they really sense God's love. They really sense it when that happens. And so we will experience God's love most deeply when he speaks it in our love language. I mentioned in our program the last time we were together that physical touch people will feel most loved by God when their body is involved. They'll say, "I was singing that song and chills ran up my spine. Mm-hmm. My body started shaking. I started weeping." And that's when they really sense that they're close to God. But Randy, you know, here's another part of this. Because we are different and we do experience God's love in different ways, we can become critical of other people.
Mm-hmm. And ourselves. We become critical of ourselves. Yeah.
Why am I not experiencing what they're experiencing? Why don't I have those kind of experiences? Or we're saying, you know, if you really love God, you would be out here serving God. You'd be out here doing acts of service, or you'd be doing this, or you'd be doing that. And we have to allow our brothers and sisters to be different from us, both in sensing God's love and then in the ways they express their love to God.
Yeah. And I think in addition to that, Gary, sometimes, and I've seen this, people try to express their love for God in ways that are not within their own comfort zone, maybe trying to measure up to someone else or something else that's going on, getting caught up in the moment, and they, in the process, it can become mechanical. In other words, knowing who you are, being in that lane in your relationship with Christ, I think that's a freeing reality here that we're talking about. You may be in a worship experience, and you may not worship the same way the person next to you, and you may feel like, well, if I'm more spiritual, maybe I'd be like them. Well, maybe they want to be like you. In other words, we are all different. That's a good reminder. Gary Chapman's my guest today. In the hurts of your life, do you feel distant? Do you feel close to God? Do you feel like you're speaking his language, he's speaking your language, or is it a foreign language? We got some callers who want to join us here. Gary, let's get started with Jenny, who's calling from Michigan. Jenny, welcome to Intentional Living today. Go right ahead.
Hi. So I was giving you guys a call in regards to the love languages, and I've been talking to God all day, actually, and telling him that I would like to hear him a little bit louder because lately it's been a bit difficult, and there are those times, and I'm sure that everybody has felt this, that you feel like God might need a hearing aid, or you might be mute, and you know you're not, but it feels that way. And just lately, I experienced seasonal depression, and it's not been as big of an issue in the past because I've handled it by going out and about, I'm very external person, and I gain energy from people. And we were blessed with a child in April. We actually had a loss before that, and he is a huge blessing, but he's also been sick lately and having sleep issues and chronic stomach issues. And it's just been very challenging. My husband has a job where he's gone from 2 p.m. to 2 a.m. So it's not a single parent situation, but in some regard it is, and family's not close. So I'm feeling a good amount of pressure lately and feeling that depression, and then reaching out to God and saying, hey, yeah, is there a change that needs to happen? If there is, I will follow you. If I need to be silent and wait, I will do that, but I need you to give me peace and take this anxiety and depression away from my heart. And I haven't been feeling like I've been getting much of an answer, but you guys were also on the radio just now talking about this, so it could be an answer in itself.
Well, Jenny, I hear in your voice and in your words a season that maybe you've been going through, and now with depression and some anxiety, I hope you're getting some help for that. That's not something, as a Christian, we should fear, getting counseling or talking to someone and working that through. But I think, Gary, Jenny speaks for a lot of people today. They want to hear from God. Maybe they have in the past. They're tired. They're exhausted. Maybe they're depressed. They're overwhelmed with any number of things. And so it's not that God doesn't, it's not even a love language issue. It's just, they're just exhausted in the process. They can't hear him.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right, Randy. I think when so many things press in on us like that, we do get discouraged. We get anxious. We get depressed. We have a lot of other emotions that are there. And I think in those situations, this caller is doing the right thing. She's reaching out to God. And I would just add this. You know, when you say to God, Lord, I'm feeling depressed. I'm feeling whatever, you know, but I'm looking to you. My hope is in you. So we're not trying to deny our feelings. We're acknowledging our feelings totally to God, but we're also expressing our faith in God. And we don't want to dictate to God what he must do to make us feel differently, because God chooses to do whatever is best for us. God doesn't always do exactly what we want him to do or ask him to do or do it the way we want him to do it, because he loves us. And sometimes it's in the difficult times of life that he is building into us character, building into us faith in the midst of darkness. That's real faith, when you can't see your way, but you're expressing your faith in God. So I think Jenny's moving in the right direction, and I would just encourage her to not in her own mind dictate how God ought to do this, how God ought to speak to her, but just affirm her faith in God every day. And read some of the scriptures every day, maybe even the Psalms, because the psalmist often felt exactly like Jenny feels. Mm. And realizing that others have walked this road before me can be encouraging.
Jenny, I'm glad you called today, and I'm glad you turned on the radio to listen. And what I'd like to do, I have a studio copy of the book that Gary sent to me, and I want to send it to you. I think you could use it. I think it'll be encouragement to you. There's going to be a lot of help in here and perspective. And so if you'll hang on, I'll have you talk to Sally. And Sally, I'll give you the book after the program, and we'll send this to you, Jenny, in Michigan, okay?
Thank you very much, you guys.
Okay. Hey, listen, hang in there. You know that God loves you. I think I can remember when I went through a period of about a month to 6 weeks of depression. I don't even know where it came from. I don't know why it left. And here I am, a counselor. You know, I'm thinking, talk to yourself, you know, counsel yourself, sit down. And you realize that when you get into these cycles, and it could be caused by physical, it could be a situation, you had a baby this year, it could be, it says here, young married, maybe there's some issues going on, your stress of your, you know, your marriage and family and life, and it can catch up with you. So hang on, Jenny, we're going to get this to you. Back with Gary Chapman. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe not hearing God's speaking to you. He's there. He's speaking. Is he speaking your love language? He does. How can you listen? Here's the question. We come back. How can we hear God in our language, you know, to be sensitive to that? More with Gary Chapman coming up in a minute.
Having instant access to important information is something we've come to expect as part of life in this day and age. And now, you can have instant access to a plan for success in every area of your life with the mobile app from the Intentional Living Center. Search by topic for audio and video clips from Dr. Randy Carlson on things like marriage, finance, parenting, and more.
I will show you how to create a clear picture for your future.
You can interact with the Intentional Living blog and even listen to the daily program at a time that works for you. Download it today for instant access to things that matter from the Intentional Living Center.
It's a statement, simple yet meaningful. It's a powerful reminder that you have purpose and direction. While the millions of other fish are heading into the net, you're living free and living intentionally. It's your stake in the ground. You refuse to live the lie and will now celebrate the truth. It's two simple words that declare you're pursuing the one thing today that will change your world tomorrow. It's the Intentional Living wristband, and it simply says one thing. To purchase, go to theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, it's a neat little thing. I wear one every day. In fact, mine broke this morning. Putting it on, it broke, and I had a backup. So, but it's a reminder every day to me, physical reminder. Lord, what one thing do you want me to do today? One thing I need to do, to be, to think, to act on, that'll bring you pleasure. At the end of the day, we should be able to look back every day and say, hey, at least one thing today moved my life in the right direction. May have some other things that are just the routine stuff that we do, but every day having one thing makes a difference. Maybe you're wrestling not hearing God, or as Gary Chapman writes in God Speaks Your Love Language, he's speaking your love language, but maybe you're a little bored with your love language. Do you ever get that, Gary, that people say, you know, we got to learn new languages in life? Is there some exposure to new love languages that we should look and express in our life, new ways of receiving God's intentional love and his language to us beyond our limited singular language?
I think so, Randy. You know, on the human level, what I encourage is this: heavy doses of the primary language of the other person, but sprinkle in the other four, you know, and you get extra credit for that on the human level.
Yeah.
And I think with God, the same thing is true. And you mentioned the whole thing of routine. For example, here's a person whose love language is acts of service. And what deeply brought them to Christ was what he did on the cross for them. And they realize, oh, he gave his life, he paid my penalty so I can be free, I can be forgiven. And then they come to Christ, and what are they going to do in expressing their love to God? They're going to volunteer to work at the soup kitchen, they're going to volunteer to go trim shrubs for somebody, they're going to volunteer whatever. And when they do that, they are having a relationship with God. For example, if they're at the soup kitchen, they dip beans, they look up in the face of the man in front of them, and they see Jesus because they remember what Jesus said, when you do it to the least of these, you do it to me. Mm-hmm. And it's very meaningful to them. This relationship with God is alive and awake. But let's say that was 10 years ago. Now, they're still going to the soup kitchen every Thursday night, but they're not even thinking about God now. They're just dipping beans. It's what they do on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. They go to the soup kitchen, and it's become routine. And God never intended the life to be routine, the relationship to be routine. And so I say, let's learn some other dialects of acts of service first. You know, let's try some other kind of service. And chances are it's going to be much more alive and awake because it's new for you. And then once we've done that, we can, I think, learn to speak some of the other love languages. And it will not be as comfortable for us, but it will stretch us a bit.
Yeah.
If physical touch is not your language, for example, why not just try going to a home, a rest home, a nursing home, and as you walk down the hall and the people are in the chairs, and some of them can't even talk, but they grunt as you walk by, you know, lean over, just put your arm around them and say, honey, I love you. You will see them melt in your arms, and you will sense that you are walking with God and you're doing, you're God's arms around that person. Yeah. So, yeah, I think we keep it alive and vibrant by learning new dialects and also learning some of the other languages.
That's very practical. Nolan wants to join us from Texas. Nolan, go right ahead. You're on with Gary Chapman.
Okay, well, I'd like to say that me and my wife, I think there's a love language that's different between a couple and your personal life. And the love language I got with me and my wife, it's vocal. Me and her, we're able to talk, and we're able to go through things without, yelling or arguing. We're sensible, quiet people. But when it comes down to my personal, I don't. My wife, she can pray, and she'll tell me that, in some way, God's answered her, and I'm new to this. I didn't decide to start following God until about a year ago, and the journey of getting into this and learning and praying and everything else, it's a bit more difficult than what I thought. But now that I'm starting to get it down, I still can't hear him. I can't hear, if I'm asking for something or advice on something or just, a light in the darkness even, I can't feel or hear nothing. And even though me and my wife talked about it and she can feel or hear or anything, I still can. I'm just having trouble connecting, getting that light in the dark.
Well, Nolan, the good news is that you care. I think it's the people that say, I don't even know aware of it. People shut the radio off because they're not interested in even talking to God are the ones I'm concerned about. But, Gary, here's Nolan saying, hey, I'm new at this, like a new language, I guess. I'm new at this, and I'm not quite hearing what my wife is hearing. Great question.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the fact that the two of them enjoy spending time talking with each other communicates to me that very likely, Nolan, your primary love language is quality time. You really enjoy that kind of time with your wife, talking back and forth to your wife. It's now you haven't quite developed that with God. Here's a practical suggestion I would make. Just take a book in the New Testament, any book you want to take, and read a chapter every morning or every afternoon, whatever your schedule allows. And you say to God before you start reading, Lord, I'm listening to you, and I want to hear anything that would be helpful to me. And then you read it carefully, slowly, underline anything that kind of jumps out at you, just underline it. And then when you get through reading it, go back to the things you underline and just talk to God about it. Because you see, conversation is two-way. Sometimes we think prayer is just talking to God, but prayer is also listening to God. And God's clearest voice is in the Bible. So you talk to God about those things you underline. Ask him questions. Tell him, this is what I really want today. Give me the ability to do this. Just an honest conversation with God. And you will find that it will indeed be a conversation with God because you're listening to him every day and you're talking back to him every day, having a normal, honest conversation with God. To me, I think you'll find as you do that over the weeks and months, you're going to find that you're hearing God as well as talking to God.
It's very good. Hey, Gary, thank you for joining me. A lot of practical help today on Intentional Living. God bless you in your ongoing ministry, my friend.
Well, thank you, Randy. I appreciate it. And you keep up the good work. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you much.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
How does intentional living fit into those moments when life makes no sense? And I thought about this morning as I was putting the last in my notes for today. And here's what I came to the conclusion from Scripture, and we'll show you in a moment. We see life through our expectations. God sees our life through his intentions. That's two different ways of looking at life, isn't it? Two totally different ways.
Boy, it really is. And that's this month's teaching, living intentionally, even when life, everything around you, as we've talked today, seems to be falling apart, doesn't make sense. Your marriage is, gotten off track, heading south. your finances took a turn, your health all of a sudden one day, it's like, wow, how'd I get here? You got to stay intentional. You got a choice. And living intentionally when life doesn't make sense works. And that's the teaching this month. It's filled with much encouragement. So for a word to members only, the teaching is on its way to you for the month of December. Listen to it, reflect on it, share your thoughts back to me with it, and then share it with others. If you're not a member, you can join today and begin this brand new year coming up, living intentionally in Christ. And we're going to get to you this teaching, living intentionally when life doesn't make sense. It's our gift to you for this month of December, and then every month a brand new teaching. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Click on donate or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and press number 4. Talk to our staff, okay? And thank you for it. Again, thanks to Gary Chapman. If you want to find out more about Gary, see his books around. The Five Love Languages put him on the map, really, as he speaks. It's very simple, really, the concept, the thought of these five love languages, and they work. And an interesting spin on God Speaks Your Love Language today. Love to hear your feedback on that. Hey, listen, I want to say a great big thank you to each and every one of you who called last week. We had a really neat week together. So many of you called in response to the need and joined us in the journey of the ministry and requested the intentional word to get started in a brand new year of a reading program to really intentionally change your life in God's Word. And of course, they're on their way to you, ASAP. So thanks to all of you that we heard from this last week on Intentional Living. We're going to wrap it up today. If you have a thought on what you've heard, maybe share what your love language is and use that one love language in your marriage and how that helps. Love to hear you share that with us on our comment line. Here's my one thought today, because we're big about doing the next right one thing. Think about how God is speaking your love language today. Is it acts of service or gifts? Is it words of encouragement? Whatever that love language is, we talk about head, heart, and hand here at Intentional Living. Is he speaking to you in your thoughts and your intellect today, or is he speaking to you in your heart, where he does to so many? Or even through your hands to be a person of action today. How is he speaking to you, and how is it transforming your life? Oh, well, thank you all for joining us on Intentional Living. We'll be back again tomorrow with more right here from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona. Have a great day.